how's everybody going out there? I hope very, very well. Man, how you guys doing today? Roderick, how you doing today, buddy?
I can't complain, Jim. Got through another deadline Tuesday at Sun Newspaper, so everything is A-OK with me.
Yeah, okay. All right, Ken, how about you, man? How you doing today, my friend?
I'm doing real well. I will be doing better if you gave me them bunion pads.
Is it that bad, baby?
You know, when you can't walk on your feet, man, it's bad.
Yeah. So you should have had some bunion pads, huh? I feel you, man. Well, you know, we're gonna try to tackle some of them bunions today, man, if we can. We got a couple of things definitely we're going to talk about today, get together and chop it up and look forward to people call in and see what we can touch today, man. But
all right. We ain't going to talk about no more feet today.
No, we ain't going to holler about no more feet, man. I tell you what, we have a co-host today with us that is going to be with us for the duration. And we go back, me and Roderick go back, at least 20 years, close to it, played some baseball back in the day in the Cleveland League. And, Roderick, I miss them days. How about yourself, buddy?
Oh, man, I tell you, I wish it was summer right now, especially with all the snow on the ground, you know what I'm saying?
Man, I can see it now, man, I can see it now. I tell you what, how do you feel not playing baseball at this time, man? I mean, how you feel?
I feel robbed. I feel robbed, really. I mean, I could be a little more descriptive about it, I guess, but it's you know, something about that summer sunshine.
Yep.
You know, that bat and that ball.
Yep.
Being out in the field.
Yep.
Being on that fresh, clean cut grass, man.
Yeah, come on with it, man.
You can't put a price tag on that.
No,
man.
No.
You know, we survive, though, don't we?
Yes, we do, man. I haven't played. It's been about 3 years since my injury, and I blew my patella tendon out. But I tell you, I'm gonna come back, baby. I'm gonna come back full force, and I'm gonna have a ball with it. But I'm looking forward to come back in 09. Definitely looking forward to that, man. But I know that you are a reporter for the Sun newspaper, man, here in Ohio.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, and I know that you definitely come across a ton of stories, situations. I know that you definitely enjoy. Man, do you have something? You know what? We're going to get back to that. I got something that I got to say about. No, matter of fact, no. Let's go to one of you. Man, talk to me. Tell me about something, man. Tell me about one of them articles that we can talk about at this point, because I got something I got to say. Go ahead.
As a journalist, the interesting part about it is that you realize that everyone has a story to tell.
Yep.
My most favorite story of all, though, is hearing about the triumph of the human spirit. That's the biggest thing that I've come across in interviewing people, reading about people, is the human spirit. Story particular of interest to me was a story on Luke Easter.
Okay.
A long forgotten Negro League baseball star who, by the way, played a small portion of his career with the Cleveland Indians.
Okay.
Reading about him and interviewing those who actually covered Luke and during his playing days was really meant a lot to me, because it was sort of that connection to the past.
Right.
I was able to read about a man who, despite being deprived of a long career in the major leagues, didn't quit. He kept at it, and even though he didn't get a call up into the major leagues until he was 35 or 36 years old,
right,
he actually had three or four seasons with the Indians when he hit 30 home runs, a little bit more. If you can believe
so
that.
You're basically saying Luke put it down.
He did.
Right.
He did.
Okay.
I mean, and in reading about him and interviewing those who actually covered him during
right.
that time, they talked about him as being a gentle giant, and as well as the fact that he was able to give a lot of himself, despite the fact that he was facing segregation. Like,
well, you know, right at the time. Now let me ask you a question. What actual? So I mean, what time frame did he come in? Did he come in what, late 40s, early 50s? I mean, when did he come in?
Actually, Luke's first season with the Indians was 1949. So
okay.
That would have made him about, 34 or 35 years of age at that time.
Okay.
But this is a man that had played baseball all throughout the world. I mean, he traveled in other countries and played with various teams. He played wherever he could, barnstormed with other Negro League stars.
Okay, the traveling teams and stuff like that.
Exactly.
Okay.
And this man had such a love for the sport
right.
that he ate baseball, slept it, drank it, did everything that you could think of in the game
right.
because he loved it so much.
Okay, okay.
And even when the Indians released him after he had broken his foot in around 1955,
okay.
He ended up playing professionally for a Buffalo League team
okay.
and played there for about 8 or 9 years, set a number of home run records, and has since had his number retired there.
Oh man, dude, I mean, you know what? I'm going to tell you something. When you, you know, in talking about that, especially at that time point, man, Nick Rose had just been getting into the league. So I'm pretty sure he had a ton of adversities that he had to go through, a ton of things that he had to battle. So in that and just talking about that, you know, and it kind of ties into what we talked about last week as far as, the multiple, aspects of the law of attraction. I'm pretty sure when you said the man slept and ate baseball, well, that man actually basically impressed his desire upon universe, and all he had to do was move to it. And I know that we probably can't even fathom, man, what that man had to go through and the ridicule he had to go through at that time point, you know, being a black person playing baseball. You know what I mean? But the thing about it is, I would even take from that, if you're talking about a man banging out 30 home runs, that means he was putting it down, son. You know what I mean? I mean, that's a lot of home runs. And I know, you know, with that being said, you know, probably a ton of things to learn from that.
Absolutely. The one thing I think people can learn from is being able to deal with adversity in a very gracious manner, keeping your head above water by being positive, despite all the negative reactions by white America at that particular time. We can also take from the fact that if you love doing what you really love to do, then there's nothing that anyone can say or do to stop you from doing it if it's in your heart to do it.
In any of those interviews, did you ever find anyone that kind of like said that he may have had some kind of questions about some of the things that went on in his life or something, or maybe like wanted to just say, well, this is it, I'm going to just give it up?
Actually, the late Hal Lebowitz, who was an outstanding Cleveland area sports reporter, I had the pleasure of interviewing before he passed, had mentioned that Luke's frame of mind was that no matter what was going on around him, he was going to stay true to himself. He believed that from a very early age, he was meant to play this game of baseball, like very few others before or even since this time. And no matter, like I said, no matter what anyone else said or did, he was going to remain true to himself, work as hard as he possibly could. And those who knew him very well, including the late Mr. Lebowitz,
right.
said that Luke always had a big smile on his face.
You know what? I'm going to tell you something. That's so funny because, you know, in just hearing that, the man wanted to master his craft, but he was happy with what he was doing. And what more can you bring to yourself, give yourself, and then yet exchange with other people than to have a smile on your face or to help fellow ball players coming up and to be that statue, that figure of power. You know what I mean? Whether or not he always or would always get credit for it or not, but he pretty much knew what he stood for. You know what I mean? And I think that's something to really look at, is that there is nothing that I've ever seen that can knock that human spirit down. Once you embrace that human spirit, and I think even hearing that basically, you know, you can see you can actually see where he didn't let those things get in the way, but at the same time, back to the embracing of the spirit, there's nothing, no power, no more, you know, that's the most powerful thing that we have. And in thinking about it, he probably embraced the knowledge of his spirit. He probably embraced the fact of that at one part of his life or certain parts of his life, man, he probably felt like, you know what, man, I was destined to play this game. You know, and how much driving force can you have from that? But you know what's so funny? You know, you often hear people not wanting to be masters at their craft, no matter what it is. You know what I mean? I don't care what it is, whether you're on the streets, whether you're a surgeon, whether you're a school teacher, whether you're a business entrepreneur. You know, how many people want to just skate through this, man? And this is, this, you know, this is something that, you know, we can take and just not, you know, being black, I can take that as black history, but history for everyone to endure. You know what I mean? And it's no more different than the things that we have to endure and the things that we have to do right now coming up to this new year. Coming up, we've seen a change of awareness within the world. We've seen a change of awareness within the United States. And it's up to us to do our part. You know what I mean? It's up to us to put it down and do what we need to do. But it's also up to us to be a master at what we do and to realize that we're all interconnected to one another, man. And it's time to put this shit down and not play with it no more. It's time that, you know, not only do we have our lives at stake, man, we've got other lives to come. Other lives to come. And, you know what I'm saying, man? It just ain't nothing to play with. But at the same time, too, it's nothing necessarily you got to get crazy and lose your hair over. You know what I mean?
Well, I truly believe, you know, whether you know, you might even be a garbage man, because I got a little boy. I mean, he's excited about seeing the garbage man every Monday. I mean, I landscape and he'll run out to the cooler and grab his dude a Gatorade or a Powerade and run up to him and play and laugh. So, I mean, people might look at you a certain way because of something, but everybody has some kind of importance to their lives. You know, you just have to feel it and be around the right people to get it.
Right, right. I mean, well, and sometimes just being around that, to even be reassured and to bring up awareness from other people, it's nothing like a group of people with the same mindset, you know, understanding and feeding off of one another and exchanging with one another, not robbing somebody and not giving. You know what I mean? But at the same time, being around people, man, that you care and love. I don't think there's no better than that. I don't know nothing I've ever experienced that's any better than that.
And that,
you know,
makes,
I mean,
anyone's attractions way better when you have somebody that can believe in you and still had a faith no matter whatever goes down. You know, because I mean, you definitely have good and bad that's gonna come your way, but if you can keep your spirit and your soul together, I mean, you'll overcome anything.
I mean, and that's a wonderful point. But that gets back to my story about the human spirit. And I got to say this, man. It was told to me in Cleveland. Some brethren, you understand me what I'm saying, jumped in a roller and went through the front of a deli store. And the first thing I would say to myself is, man, you had to have some serious intentions behind that. Not only to take the brunt of the airbag, but I'm going to go one step further, man. They had spirit with them. They had it with them. To go through that wall, man. If you would have seen this,
yeah,
I know you said you seen
spirit
on TV.
They had the spirit.
They had the spirit with them, baby.
Yeah, because they was going to have a good Christmas.
Let me tell you something, but the jacked up part about it is, man, check it. They go up in there, dude, go through the store. They don't care about no concrete, no bricks. They don't care about no steel shutter doors. Four of the brothers jump out. At least they had enough decency to have masks on their face. But these brothers get an empty ATM machine. Dude, out of all of that. But wait a minute. They had spirit in the car with them. You had to give them that. They had spirit in the car with them, but they was looking for God when they went through that dodo, baby. They was looking.
What they did, they watched the movie Barbershop the night before, and they got an idea.
Yeah, oh, they might have got an idea, but think about that, man. You're going to go through
and
all
they
that.
They said, we can do it.
Oh, brother, man, and
they
did
it.
And they did it. Now, whether or not they came across with that cheese, that's a whole other deal. I don't think that's worth a pack of cigarettes and some lottery tickets you can't use.
They took the cigarettes.
I'm pretty sure they did.
Yeah.
So it really helped their asses on getting out of here quicker. You know what I mean? Unless you on the corner selling Pall Mall. Do they even make Pall Malls anymore, man? They make them cigarettes? I don't know, man. I don't smoke either, man. I can't say. But, you know, you got to think about that, man. I mean, that. But then at the same time, too, I mean, it's funny. But, you know, you hate it because, in a sense, you know, you jacked up somebody else's day. Them people out there all day long had to clean up there. But at the same time, man, you got to say to yourself, man, them were some brothers that, look, man, when they got together and had a plan, I ain't say it was the master plan, but they had a plan. They had a plan. And they followed suit with that plan, dude. Now, they come up empty-handed, but you got to salute them for the plan. I don't know.
Think if they had to put that energy in a little different other source.
Exactly. That's the thing, right?
And what we're trying to say is truly that you can do anything.
That's almost as bad as them bunions, man. Yeah, you can't do anything, but, man, I'll be damned, though, baby. You're going to go up empty-handed. Then somebody told me they left the ATM across the street. So you go take the ATM and can't get in it. What the heck have you even did? You can't bust the ATM or why are you even going to take the, what do you mean, you're going to hit a button? You're going to put your own card in, try to get some cheese out? I mean, I ain't never.
They probably just didn't explore all the possibilities.
Man, they got to come.
They had a good attraction because they definitely got the machine.
Well, you kind of understand, too, with the people. We go back to the same thing that I'm talking about the ability that what universe has being neutral. You come with enough. You, them doors gonna be open for you to do what you know, just to do what you're gonna do. But I'm gonna tell you something. That also leads into the situation that we kind of talked about last week where a friend of mine, Leon, had called up and he had made a statement about, you know, being around people working. I mean, I can slide this in. And basically, if once we come to a certain awareness, we have to realize one thing, that we're actually, hold on, I'm getting a text message here, just messing me up. Basically, what we're doing is that we actually can look at that in a way that we can actually blend that in with actually being around people that you necessarily don't want to be around. And you say, well, how is that blending in? Here's my take on it. My take would be there is the energy exchange, and let's go even farther. I would say there even is a war of energy going on. And what I mean by that is you got people putting their will on you. You know what I mean? Sometimes you get people that just want to, let's just say they just want to jack your day up.
I mean, but I've truly felt the same way because, I mean, here's the situation. I have a friend. He's been going through some financial difficulties. And he just got married, and before he got married, His fiance, they got along well, and he was sitting down watching television. He was telling me he was watching television, having a good day, a peaceful day. He said he's sitting there enjoying the movie, and he said his wife came in, and he said as soon as he heard the door, his stomach just started turning and churning because he knew she was gonna come at him with some bull. So he said he let her come up, and he said, "How you doing, sweetie?" And he said she came in, and he said, "Well, you know, that money that I was supposed to get back from that guy that was supposed to do something for us, I don't think he's going to give us that money back. And he's going to, so now, I know you needed this money for some legal assistance and stuff, so now what are you going to do?" And he said, he looked at her, he turned around, and he said, "You know what? You just fucked up my day." He said, "I was having a good day. I didn't want to think about none of this. But you just came in here. I was enjoying the movie. I wasn't even thinking about all the problems that I got out there because I knew I was going to have a solution of some kind of way." He said, "But you just lowered me down another level. But could you do me one favor? Take your ass back out of here and leave me alone and let me enjoy my movie."
But sometimes, baby, That's what you got to do. Sometimes that's what you got to do. I mean, but here's the situation with that, man. I'm going to be honest with you. Here's the situation with that. How many times we see that coming? How many times people give us indications that they're willing to bring certain things down on you? And I'm not saying necessarily what you said is basically like that, because when it's all said and done, he still has to be responsible for whatever situation happened in him and him not having the finances. It's not really up to his wife, so to say. But, you know, I understand what you're saying is that, but you rather bring that havoc on to me. Can you chill with some of that havoc? Can
but
I understand
they're a team,
that?
You know, like I'm going through the same things. And if you're a team and you can help me, don't come at me with something crazy or negative or something that's going to take me. I might be over here to the left. I don't want to go over to the right. I want to just get to the middle where the solution's going to be. Don't take me to the right and back over to the left,
because
I ain't getting nowhere.
Right.
If you're going to cause me havoc, let me work it out. I know what I'm going to do.
Right.
It's not coming when you want me to come.
Right.
Or want it to come.
Right.
But still, give me a chance and don't fuck it up.
I understand that, but it gets back to this one other thing, man. It gets back to when you come across a certain amount of knowledge, you're going to be able to discern from that. You're going to be able to say to yourself, man, you know what? I don't even want to engage in it.
But sometimes I've tried it, and I saw what his point was, you know, because you can try, and I don't, you know, I try not to engage in that and stay on what I've gotten. When I locked into it, I'm going at it 100%.
Right.
But I mean, it seems like it's in that attraction, it's people that really don't believe that you can do certain things until it's done, until they see it in their face.
Well, a lot of times that's a lack of faith. But a lack of faith, really, as long as you have yours and you understand that faith is basically the catalyst for law of attraction to work. You know, those situations go where, you know, people have imprinted or impressed. And that's what technically, when you get into that, is what happens is, for your desires to match with emotion, you impress that onto the actual information grid of universe. Universe gets that. It sees that. It feels that. It's interpreting that because of vibrations. Now, what happens is, even with that, it's people's intentions behind those impressions. What are your intentions / motivations? See, just like you take dudes sitting there watching the TV show, right? People come in there hooping, hollering, running their mouth off, cracking it on off, cracking it. You know what I mean? What's the motive for the cracking? You know what I mean? What's the motive for when you coming at me from a straightforwardness and say, you know what, you know that I'm trying to get this done, or you know that I'm in this position. Do you necessarily have to come at me for that? My whole situation in researching and seeing the human emotion or the human philosophy behind what they're doing is no more different than somebody say, you know what, man, I just want to create havoc in somebody's day to day. What would a person mindset be to even say that you want to do? But there's so many people out there that want to do that. But here's the situation where that comes into. You want to vibrate at a higher level all the time. That higher vibration means something. That higher frequency is interpreted by universe quicker. That's why in this plane that we exist on, it's called the lower vibrating plane. It's the lower. Because of the illusion that we're at, matched with all the other things that goes on, it's a lower vibrating plane. So what you want to do to conquer that, and getting back to that war of energy, is, man, you got to scream, a person would have to scream their vibration levels up. The other part of the other section with that would be a person dealing with that, and you seeing that what you believe to be no other outcomes, then what is that to shift the person's awareness to go find something else? You know what I mean? What does it take for a person to get up and say, man, I'm not feeling this woman. I'm not feeling these situations around me. What is it going to take for me to change my reality? And most people don't understand that you can change your reality. Your reality is changed in an instant. I mean, we can get on this radio, we can talk, we can do some things, we can apply these things out, but if, going back to the faith part, if we don't have faith in the system that was placed in front of us and ourselves, then there's no catalyst. That would also go back to answer the fact that prayer's not answered, other than the fact that people believe that something else is supposed to answer the prayer.
Because I truly believe, I mean, if I pray for something, it's definitely not going to come unless I get up and I'm motivated to go and get it. You know, I have the inners and everything and all the workings to get it.
Right.
So I'm going to get it. I'm going to raise it up a level.
Right.
And I might get like the brother with the ATM machine.
Man, dude, let me tell you something. If that energy like that was placed in opening up a corporation or a business, placed on a career, a person said, you know what, let me say this to you, man. I want to start a catering company. I want to make a new product up. I want to get my chocolate chip cookies going, Big Daddy. Whatever it might be, if I want to put the extra nuts in it, the extra ingredients in it, come up with something special, I need to make a move that way. I need to make a move as strong as them brothers did going in that place. I need to make a move on to corporate America, on to other people's lives, or get my things marketed. You know what I'm saying? Now, you can sit, Roderick, and you can say that you've interviewed people. How many sports stars have you interviewed?
Well, I had the pleasure of interviewing Anderson Varejao.
Okay,
for the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, I believe in his first year with the Cavaliers.
Right.
I had a chance to do that. I also had a chance to do a phone interview with Magic Johnson.
Okay.
We were talking about Kobe Bryant, Shaquille O'Neal situation when this was after Shaq was traded from the Lakers to the Miami Heat.
Okay.
Some 4 or 5 years ago. So I've had the pleasure of getting inside these individuals, seeing them in a different light, so to speak, as opposed to the average fan. So I consider myself fortunate in that regard.
Now let me ask you a question. When you talk to Magic Johnson, I mean, one of the baddest guards ever to play the game. I mean, you know, the first time I seen a guard, 6'9". Is he actually 6'9"? Would you say he's 6'9"?
Unfortunately, I didn't have a chance to meet Magic in person, but looking at him, he does look 6'9".
He looks 6'9".
He does look 6'9".
Now, let me ask you a question. In talking to him, did you see anything in the interview that would say to, you know, say to yourself, man, this dude is really vibrating, man. I mean, he is really about whatever he is doing with the Lakers or his other business and things that he's doing. I mean, could you take something from that phone call?
Well, as a matter of fact, I did. I've always come to learn of Magic from others' observations that he was a winner in everything that he put his hands into. Magic always wanted to be the best at whatever. Certainly we're seeing that right now as he's a successful entrepreneur, owning several businesses across the landscape. But Magic fits into your criteria of someone that doesn't settle, someone that doesn't wait for something to happen. He goes out and he makes it happen. You're not going to get any, I can't do this or I can't do that from Magic. Magic is a go-getter, a classic go-getter, and it pretty much personified his career as, to me, the best point guard that ever played the game, not just for his playmaking abilities, but his leadership qualities. I found him to be a leader of men, and as we engaged in that conversation, and I'm going back 4 or 5 years now, he spoke to me as though he had known me all of his life, but the thing that really made an impression with me about Magic was that he had a way of putting you in that inner circle. He always believed that you have to have leaders and you have to have people that are willing to fill in certain roles in order for a team to be successful. Not just a basketball team,
right? But anything,
but
right.
any team.
Right.
And when I talked to him, it was always about we. If we are going to do this, then we need to do that.
Right.
It was never about I. And he personified, when I took from that, he personified that collective unity. I know I'm being redundant, but
No. But that's the important part, because where does that fit into the scheme of our spirituality? That fits into the scheme of it's not just I, it is we.
It's we.
And we're all interconnected. And together we can change the whole face of reality. I comes in the face. We take the step on changing our reality on a personal level, but also with the fact of aiding and helping and reaching out to other people on a complete level, touching another soul. Now, we all interconnected that way. Then that would definitely be, and if you asked him, you know, are you aware that you do this? He might even say, man, you know, it's just something natural in me to be that way. Because in that, and definitely the things that he's went through in his life, I'm pretty sure he would have a certain amount of awareness of a lot of things that a lot of people, you know, have not seen. But at the same time, in the realm of metaphysics, I would say in looking at him and looking at his life on how it played out, and he would probably tell you the same basic thing. Man, if I look back at this, it looked like a movie. Every step, every point, I would say he charted that disease into his life to create and to test his willingness to expand and to grow and to overcome. I mean, you know, and you can see that on a comeback, coming back into the NBA, what he did.
Absolutely. You couldn't be more correct about that. It's interesting you should mention that, too, because he made a point of saying that over and over again that he wanted to educate those around him, those that didn't even know who he was, aside from being a world-famous basketball player, that this is something that I created, this active irresponsibility, so to speak.
Right.
He put himself in a position to contract this deadly disease, but he didn't want anyone feeling sorry for him. He said that this is what I have to do, and this is what I'm going to do to live a better life. And in the process, I'm going to educate those around me about the ramifications of irresponsible actions, and I'm also going to educate people as to the effects of this deadly disease and how we can live with this disease. Those of us who are unfortunate enough to contract this disease, to be able to live with it, to be able to survive. But it was always positive with Magic. And I suspect that anyone that's ever come across him would probably feel the same way. He's a very positive person, and he doesn't let anything get him down. And that, to me, that personifies a winner.
I mean, I would definitely agree with that. Plus, the fact that, too, you know, you could have been in a situation where you're counting your days. And with that alone, that would make you, it would make the average person sit back and say, man, I don't have this moment in time to be just taking these things for granted. So when you're out there in the basketball court, you're not just listening to that ball bounce up against that hardwood. You're hearing the echoing. You're feeling the vibration. You're feeling the balls in your fingertips, because guess what, man? It means something different to me now. You know what I mean? You can get out here and hoop all day long, 360-degree slams, but when you sit back and when you say it's all done and you're finished up, no more different than baseball. You know, I just sit back and make excuses about, you know, I'm not playing. I picked up a couple pounds. I'm this. But truthfully speaking, man, those are excuses. Is the love of the game still there? Could you get out there right now in 25-degree weather and hit some balls? Could you get out there if you could? I mean, we've had to do it not in that, let's say, temperature extreme, but we've had to do it spring training-wise. I mean, I remember us being out there dealing with spring training, having to do that, having to get out there in sweatshirts, man, and maybe Scully's on just to get out there. But that's the love. And I could say, at a young age for me, I learned to appreciate a lot of things. I learned to appreciate people around me. I learned to appreciate friendships around me. I learned to appreciate the different gifts that universe has for us. I mean, I learned to appreciate that. And even talking about him, you know, wanting to teach and wanting to help other people, that's the dynamic exchange. And universe must answer. That all these laws are not to restrict us. It's for us to understand these laws and to rule on this plane of existence. And once we do, we find out that a lot of things that we've done in our lives and a lot of challenges that we've seen are really, majority of them was mental. You know, we just take a little bit of time and say, man, is the shit that pressing? Is it that pressing? I just lost an aunt the last couple of days, and I had a chance to talk to her distant-wise over the phone. My sister ended up giving her a message from me and me from her, but I can hear her in the background. So in talking to my father, you know, he was, you know, at his age of 85-plus, he's seen a lot of people come and go and understand how this situation happens from birth to death to rebirth. but he's seen something in her eyes, if I'm getting this right, that the fact of a life not finished completely. You know what I'm saying? A life not finished completely. And as far as looking at scrolls and scriptures, and I'm studying the Kabbalah right now at this time, is that a statement that really stuck with me, man, and even, you know, going back to magic and Luke Easter, is that if one cannot accomplish a soul's purpose, which is the utmost platform of when we come back here, that it's a life wasted. And it's a flat-out life wasted. How many people have come across you that you've seen and that have died and that you maybe had a chance to visit before death and you can look and feel something from them to say, man, I just didn't get it right. I just didn't get it right.
I mean, but I think a lot of us experience a lot of things in life and with a lot of people that really just don't really know where they sit. So it's when you're good at what you do and you're doing things and you can achieve things and people tend to cling on to you, they depend on you because you have such great attractions to just simple things. You know, like here's an instance, like one time I can remember I was at one of the home improvement stores and we were going to buy some mulch.
Right.
We bought a couple bags, and at that particular time, we didn't have enough money to get enough mulch to do what we needed to do. And we were in the back loading it in the truck, and a guy walked up, one of the workers walked up to me and was like, hey, if you got another $10, I can make another 10 bags fall in your truck.
That's what I'm talking about. That sounds like a come-up to me.
And I said, here, do it. And he actually put 20 more bags in my truck.
Oh, well, well.
But I mean, there's certain, I mean, for him to do that, you know, he had to see something in you or something or something.
He might have felt
or,
something. Or,
or
you know,
he just needed $10 out that ATM machine.
You just happened to be in the right place at the right time, baby.
What I'm trying to go at is, like, a lot of people are fine for in a lot of different things.
Okay.
And they can never come up with the solution. But you always have to, if you can find fault, you can find a remedy.
Exactly, because here's the situation as far as dealing with law. As something comes your way, so comes the answer too. It's whether or not you want to shift around it to immediately take the brunt off of whatever's coming and say, you know what, man, okay, what do I learn from this? But even getting back to that point about coming through, and you could say, well, you know, a person really didn't know what they were supposed to do or what something going on, that intelligence from your inside to say, man, I really feel a need to write and I really feel a need to speak. But how often people suppress that is what I'm, you know what I'm saying? When you say, okay, but that's still, no matter what, even the universe, that's still a life wasted. I mean, you could say, see, the thing about it is, what does the average, if you go to court or you go somewhere dealing with law, they say, well, there's no excuse for ignorance of the law. Well, that soul is also with universe, too. There is no excuse for ignorance to natural law. Getting in even further with that, there are ways for people out here dealing with matrix energy, dealing with the Akashic records, dealing with that. You know what I'm saying? We got a call. We'll take the caller. Caller?
Yes. I'm a first-time caller, and I'm concerned about you're talking about the law of attraction and repulsion. And what is some literature that I can buy to find out more about the law of attraction?
Well, you know what? I'm gonna tell you something, man. I have seen quite a bit. One of my first books that I actually viewed was Deepak Chopra, The Seven Spiritual Laws to Success. I also was turned on to some books by a Dr. Ashby, if I'm not mistaken. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah, I believe it's Dr. Malaka Ashby, that is.
I think, right, that is exactly the person. And I think I have had a chance to look at a couple DVDs. I had a chance to actually sketch over some of the information that he has, and I mean, I'm very overwhelmed and very happy to actually, you know, have skimmed over. I haven't read in depthly about it. Now, also, I'm gonna tell you something else. That I got a book that I am very, very, very interested in. It's called The Everything Law of Attraction Book: Harness the Power of Positive Thinking and Transform Your Life. And the author's last name is Lester. And I've seen that too. And I tell you something about, and let me make sure I get that name right. Ashby, I think that is the name. He, as far as what I have seen, this doctor gets into a lot of the beginning and origins. And that's something that we want to, you know, tap onto in the shows to come, because we don't want to have anything tainted. You know what I'm saying? We want to really, and for me, in my spiritual journey, and the journey that I'm going through right now, is that give me, you know, I don't want nothing watered down. Give it to me. Give it to me how it is. Let me decipher that information. Let me make a analytical decision, you know what I mean, about it, and put it to use. See, because the main thing with all these things that, and we've, you know, said that before, we can get this information in, we can see it, we can read it, but guess what, man? There ain't nothing going on until we put this into action. We have to put it in action, and we have to believe it. I mean, you know, it's something that we have to do. So those are the things, and there's many more books, too. I would suggest you could probably hit Amazon.com. You could probably hit Borders. I mean, I've got so many books. I'm sorry, none is necessarily coming right to my mindset, but definitely Deepak Chopra, Fred Dyer, Dr. Fred Dyer, he gets into that too. Sandra Ann Taylor has a couple books dealing with quantum success and understanding those energetic transformation processes, affirmations, those things. She, you know, and she's a wonderful author. I love her as an author. It's like I love Deepak, and I believe and I know in my heart I'm going to love Dr. Ashby too. What's your experience on the laws of attraction? Hello, caller. Are you still there?
Question again?
No. I was saying, what is your experience, or what are some of the things that, you know, as far as you've experienced in your life, as far as or how much reading have you done on the laws of attraction?
Well, there's plenty of resources, but going back to what you were saying about getting back to the origin of things, I think is most important. I mean, you don't want to sugarcoat anything when you're stepping into this information. And there's numerous of people, scholars and authors and doctors who's written information to actually find the origin of knowing about the metaphysics, the laws of attraction and repulsion, vibrations, and so be it. But, I mean, I had quite a bit of experience of dealing with certain things that they talk about and how it connects to some of the things that our ancestors have spoken. But I think as a whole, each individual should try to do their own research, not just listening to everyone else and what they hear, but be open-minded to all information.
Exactly.
By you being that way, that is a form of magnetism. You're going to attract things more and more, because when you're feeding this information, things that you don't know about, you know, it brings you to a higher consciousness, you know. And most importantly, I think we need to, as a whole, on a global scale, we need to open our minds to listen to information, especially starting with the origin. You know, and like I said, there's numerous authors. I mean, Dr. Charles Finch, he's excellent. I'll speak about, you have authors like speaking about the spirituality, like how a lot of these religions existed, but trying to find the key origin and how everything evolved out of, you know, a certain, I can go back to saying the Comedian Tree of Life, you know.
Exactly.
Dr. Ashby, he speaks on this, and this is actually the origin of a lot of our beliefs, And I think most importantly, we just need to go back to the origin.
No. I mean, and that's a very valid point, because there's nothing better than the origin. I mean, the original, the original place of where this information comes from. And at the same time, you know, it was so funny that that is such a true statement, as the fact of just opening our minds will automatically change our consciousness levels by just doing that, by just saying, you know what, let me just go a little bit farther, or, you know what, that's a possibility. With that alone, you know what I mean?
A possibility, could it be the truth?
Could it be the truth?
Because, I mean, a lot of things that's out here for us that we believe as truth may not be the truth, because someone just covered up or gave us little bits and pieces, only enough just what they wanted us to see.
That's a good point too. And I think now, how much? Let me ask you a question, Carl. How much research have you done on your ability to actually see deceptions in, let's say, certain factors of religions or certain factors of things? When you say that you study as far as the origin, I mean, what would be one of the main things that you would say? I mean, on a simple base, what would be one of the main things that you would say that you've seen that have, you know, necessarily been a deceptive move when it comes to information about how these things operate?
Well, kind of hard to say right now.
Okay.
main thing is, it's just, you know, trying to look at information that we have on the internet. We have more information, you know, now out there that's going to help us give our guidance to what we need to know. And if we're apprehensive about certain things that we view and see on television or whatever, the news or whatnot, you know, to help cover up the information, if you're trying to agree with it or not, you know.
Okay.
There's always two sides to a story, but at the same time, you want to look at both sides of the story, you know, and come to a total agreement. But the more information that you seek, the more, you know, you'll have that desire and to want to know it.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
Not necessarily agreeing with it or not. But it's definitely a part of life.
Well, let me ask you a question. In your journey of your spiritual path, as far as dealing with not just the one law of attraction, have you been happy? Are you happy so far with what you've seen, as far as anything, as far as that, you know, transferring back into your life? I mean, have you been, you know what I mean, pleased of the information that you researched yourself on your own?
Oh, yeah, just listen to numerous talk show hosts, you know, and, you know, a lot of times I'm hearing stories on the news, but at the same time I'm doing the research to find out if it's true or not, you know.
Right,
whether it's sugar-coated or not. But by me going back to origin and things like that, major topics of world corporations, I mean, you got numerous videos out there now on, talking about Z-Geist or whatever, Z-Geist
1-2. Now, I've actually viewed some of that, and I mean, some of that it's disturbing. I mean, Z-Geist and Z-Geist 1, Z-Geist 2, I was lucky enough to have that put into my hands, and I mean, it was some information there that, you know, man, it'll bring goosebumps over your arm, and that's, you know, that's getting back to that situation of, man, who in the hell is running the country? You know, and what is their agenda? What is these people's agenda and what they're doing with the country? You know what I mean? But it still doesn't lose the fact of that no matter what somebody's agenda is, there's nothing going to rise higher than a human spirit, because if we're the cogs that are placed there, and some of us are placed there unknowingly, then we have the ability to change the operations of anybody's will.
I think before they get out of there, Big Daddy, I'm just not cutting y'all off, or think we need to have a little fun. We need to send them some good old collard greens or something, you know?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Bring some spirit behind them collard greens and some hot sauce. Well, Carla, I tell you something, man. I appreciate you listening in, and I hope that you listen in every week to us. And definitely give us your comments on how you think we're doing, and don't be afraid to hit that 1-877 number, man. But we appreciate you calling in.
Okay, thanks, man. Thanks for listening and taking my question.
All right, thank you so much for calling. I'm gonna tell you something, man. Back to that even dealing, and that's something that we have to really, really touch on, is that origin, and not be afraid of that origin, not be afraid of that, and grab onto it, man. You know what I'm saying? But you're right, though. We do need some collard greens up in here, man.
And don't forget about the candy yams.
We need them, baby. We sure do, man. Like somebody told me today, man, I'm going to have some collard greens for breakfast, baby. And I think that's a positive thing to do. But on the strength of that, man, I can really say that, there's so much things that we can get in depth about. And I know there's so many more, and we're going to do it in the next coming weeks, so many more athletes. And I know we're all pulled to athletes because we, in the recesses of our souls, man, we know that they're living at the level of their soul when they're that elite athlete. Your mouth just drops when you see Ali do what he does, when you see Jordan do what he does, when you see LeBron James, Tiger Woods. Them dudes are commanding and changing their realities at will.
I think what it is, too, is that we really want to live vicariously through them at their highest success, if you will. We want to share in their success. And we're very disappointed, to say the least, when they fall off that pedestal that we place them so high upon. Sometimes we need to be cognizant of that, too, that they are human beings and that they are living the so-called dream of dreams. And along the way up, they're gonna experience some pitfalls, but at the same time, they're gonna experience some triumphs as well. But we have to look at them for the complete human beings that they are.
And you know, you're right about that too. But guess what? You mentioned that. But guess what, man? Too, we feel those extreme highs and we feel those extreme lows because we're connected to them too. So we feel that. I mean, we don't have to be necessarily at the Quicken Arena and actually be the one popping that J off, but when it go off, I mean, we can feel that. And as athletes, and I still call myself an athlete, I can feel that. You know what I mean? And it's not to say, you know, we're not sitting there like you're saying, man, you know, even to the point of wishing that we were there at that plate or wishing we were there throwing that jump shot up, man, or wishing we were there, you know, hitting that putt into the hole and feeling that. But with that, I think too, man, it does come a sense of these people are living from the soul. And we all have that ability. We all have that choice to do it. It's just a matter of fact. It's just, you know, whether we want to get out of that box. And, you know, people say, well, you know, you just keep using that metaphor. You know, get out of the box. Man, that's so important. It's getting out of that box. And the people that we just talked about, they're out that box, and they're living it. They're out of that box. They're not waiting till they're near deathbed experiences and say, "Woo, this is what life was about." Hell no. Them dudes are doing it, and I'm going to tell you something. A lot of it, even Magic Johnson, he was living that even off the court. So can you knock him for that? You don't knock him for that.
No. I'll tell you what, I learned a long time ago from a very wise man once told me that a person that limits himself is a limited person. So we have the ability to be all we can be. We just have to strive for it, and we have to be willing to put forth some sacrifices. But if we really want something badly enough, regardless of what it might be, we have the ability to reach far and near to get that. I'll leave you with this, too. A man's reach should far exceed his grasp, or what is the heaven for? So, in other words, you know, you reach for the stars always. And if you fail to hit the stars, what's the worst you can do? You're going to hit the sky. But if you start out just thinking, okay, I'm going to reach for the sky, your butt's kind of right down to the ground if you don't hit that sky. So what I'm trying to say is just reach as far as you possibly can. And you never know unless you reach.
You never know. And that's an excellent point, too. That is an excellent point. And it is about striving. And it is about not taking the light things and not being light about some things, but really, man, just hammer through this life and have fun. And right now with all the stuff, and I'm going to say it again, you know, even with the economy, and there's people saying, but I look at that as one thing, man. I take all of that personal. You know what I'm saying about that. It's time now to get it on. It's not time now to lay down.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
We have to get down, but we have to have a group of people around us that's really on the same page with us, doing the same thing, and understand the importance of it, of just being a team, you know.
You're talking about being in sync.
You're talking about being in sync.
Well, being in sync ain't not going to beat it, man. I mean, you know, what in the world, there's championship teams, there's major corporations. When you're in sync, you're not going to stop that, baby. You're not going to stop. What is going to stop that?
That's just like my feet going to feel better today when you give me them bunions, baby.
You're going to have to go. Get them bunion pads yourself, man. You're going to have to go get them bunion pads. But I'm going to tell you something, man. I've enjoyed the day. I look forward to many more days of this. And, you know, I think, Roderick, man, you definitely left us with something. You definitely left us with something that we can all put in perspective with that, man. And like I said, I appreciate both of you guys for being on and coming on and agreeing to be on. And to, you know, give your life stories and give your experiences and, you know, and you know, just to do that. So I do appreciate that.
Hey, brother, no problem. I just feel blessed to be interconnected with you guys. It's made me a better person.
All right, I appreciate that, man. That's what I'm saying. And all things for a reason. And then we're going to make sure that we make that reason happen, dude. It's about what we want. And I think as a level itself, you know, once we lock in and once we see, it's about activating it with faith and putting something on their ass with some movement. So listen here, man. We're going to leave you guys and get ready for next Wednesday, man. What we going to do?
And when you're getting ready to think about that Christmas dinner and you're sitting down there getting ready to eat your auntie's pound cake and that shit is nasty, tell her.
We're all right, y'all. Thanks for listening in. We'll see you next Wednesday.